kind of doing some review, because for what we're looking at, it's something you have to practice first and foremost. What I'm teaching is an old-fashioned, another new way of saying old-fashioned, having devotions, setting apart probably the minimum of 15 minutes, ideal an hour, half an hour probably is a reasonable amount of time apart with you and God are having a conversation. It could be in your bedroom, it could be on a walk, it could be, and it's as much without external support. Like I tell everybody, when you go to worship the Lord, take out the earbuds. Don't let somebody else sing your song. Just find words. You know the reason the power of worship is so, the powerful of a song in worship is, it's singing a truth repetitively. You know what the power of the word is? It's truth. Now, if you can repeat the word, you're repeating truth. And if you begin to hear truth, Jesus said, truth will make you free. You may not understand it or know it, but it will start to change the atmosphere of your inner man. And so truth, so when you, we're going to talk about that. When you approach the Lord, you don't really want to let externals be your support system. I mean, it's fine when you need it, but don't get dependent on it, because then you let somebody else sing your praise. And you'll find that worship, after a while, songs are limiting. They don't release you, they limit you. Which I always tell you, if we're singing a song and you've just got more to say than the song, just say it. We can't hear you anyway. Just say it. Praise it. Express it. Language is the key, because Jesus is language. He is the Word made flesh. Father spoke and said, light be, light was. So language is a huge way of interaction in the kingdom, just as it is in a marriage. If you don't learn to talk together, you're not going to have a very happy home. And if we don't learn to talk together, we don't get to enjoy that same home. That's why we have a book that's so beautiful that we can begin to make it a part of our language, even though it's foreign to us when we first get started. So turn with me to Hebrews 10. I'm going to just do a quick review and a practice on each one. We have about 40 minutes, and we'll do it rather quick. Mansions came to me as a name that was unique. We weren't using, so we could kind of talk about some things that we know, but we could look at them in a new way. In my relationship with God, I become aware of three things that I am dependent upon continually: the presence of God, the promises God makes, and the power of God that the Holy Spirit brings. And I have found that the presence of God is something to which I can enter in by faith. So for years, I would spend a lot of energy trying to find a good way in, when I had to finally accept that I'm in because of Jesus. So I want to access my way in through Jesus. Promise is what the way Father reveals to us or places his seed in us so that we can be transformed into his image, receive divine nature. So I've always said, always known, that when God wants to reveal himself to us, he makes a promise to us. And when he makes a promise made is an inheritance given. And there's so much in the New Testament, it's all about calling and inheritance, about identity and sonship, and in our place within the family and the kingdom and the purpose, why we've been separated. So that's in the Word. That's promise. And then the power of the Holy Spirit is not just a power. I wish it was just the only power the Holy Spirit had was to get me out of problems and put me in a better place. But then, unfortunately, the truth is, to get me out of some of my problems, he's got to get me out of me. And some of those problems, the only way he can get me out of me is I got to face the death that I'm afraid of. So sometimes the power of the Holy Spirit comes to just lay down your life, to not fight for your own way, to look like you're losing so that you can actually win. So Holy Spirit power isn't just, bam, I got healed. It can also be, wow, I had a miserable day, but I sure found deep fellowship with God. And after a fellowship with God, he spoke to me about this, that, and the other, and there was life flowing. Trust me, God wants us healed. He wants us saved, delivered. He wants all those things. But he's even more interested in transforming us into his image. That's his goal. So let's talk about entering the presence. I believe when I practice, when I go to be with the Lord, I have many entry points, and they're all through Scripture. Scripture is the most assured way because it cannot be altered and it will always be recognized. When Jesus fought the devil, he didn't say, "Hey, I just came out of an amazing experience at the Jordan. I was there. Father's voice came ringing through the clouds. And the Holy Spirit came down like a dove. You will not believe it. Like a real literal dove laid on my set on my shoulder. And because of that, and I heard the Father say, I'm his beloved son and he's well pleased with me." You would think if anyone had an experience they could have told the devil to be quiet over, that would have been it. But he doesn't bring it up because the challenge is to what the Father just said to him in the experience. You are my son. You see, everything of life has to come off of this page and find its way painted into my heart, experienced inside of my heart. And then it becomes mine. But for it to have eternal weight of authority, it has to then get challenged, right? So the Holy Spirit comes and fills Jesus at the same time because the revelation is still alive. And if the problem comes too much later, you won't know that the problem really came to test the word, right? So sows the word. The word is sown. Immediately, Satan comes for the word. You think he's after you. He's not after you. He's after the word because the word is eternal and it is what defeats him and gives him victory. So Jesus says, "It is written." And once he said that three times in three experiences, finally the devil leaves him. So when I start my place, I'm coming to be with my Father, and I've learned this, and I know this to be so true. I'm coming through what Jesus Christ accomplished. Therefore, I'm not going to, try to sort out how my day was yesterday and whether I should go through purgatory for a half an hour or 45 minutes. I'm just coming straight in to the place he made for me. But it takes faith to believe that what Jesus accomplished still works today after the day I just had. Do you follow me? See, the truth has to trump the experience. Otherwise, your experience will wag you like a tail wagging a dog. Love it when I'm having a great experience. Hate it when I'm having a terrible experience. I have to have a way out of a bad experience into a new experience with God. Truth. So here's one that we've used in the Father's heart. Hebrews 10:19, Rachel. And when I use scripture, I often will recite it as it becomes committed to my imagery and memory, but I actually use it as like my access. So therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's like the shortest way in. So appropriating this, and we'll do it in a moment, but I'll show you how we do it. Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you this morning or this evening today, and I'm coming, and I'm going to come right into the holiest of holies. I come with boldness, the outspokenness, the freedom of my speech, to just come boldly by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. So the blood gives me boldness, and I walk through the door of Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, now his intercession, his high priest. I just come right in, and here I am, and I pause, and I say out loud, I'm coming inside the holiest of holies. The only place the high priest could go once a year. I am here now by faith in what you accomplished. Now, if you practice this, you will find the first time you try this, it'll be kind of like, well, it's kind of thin. It's not very meaty or weighty or powerful. So you explore what that means with your mouth. Your tongue becomes like the pen of a ready writer to recite your composition for the king. So that's why I tell everybody, get a concordance on your phone, get your Bible on your phone, or have a concordance ready and have your Bible ready so that you can, like for instance, when I first started this, why does the blood give me so much boldness? So it takes me on a little journey into the blood. The scripture's about the blood. You see, the blood redeems, the blood forgives, the blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. The blood washes, it redeems me through the forgiveness of sins. And I could expand that. I'm coming by the boldness of the blood because the blood gives me confidence and assurance. And it is the only answer that I have to all accusation is will always be the blood of Jesus. And now I'm coming through the veil of your flesh because the only way I can be in the presence of God is what you did, Jesus. So I'm going to discount what I did and I'm going to exalt what you did. And for me, well, what did you do? Well, you died for my sins. Okay, I expand on that. You died for my sins. So that means that all of that I did and was did wrong was placed upon you. You were delivered up because of my offenses. You who knew no sin became sin for me because I could not know righteousness except you took on my sin. And I allow that to elaborate. You died. It was completed. The act of the sacrifice was finished in your death, and then you were raised on the third day. So therefore, death was defeated. It says you were delivered up in Romans 4. You were delivered up because of my offenses, and you were raised for because of my justification. So because I was justified, you were raised. So because you were raised, I am justified. Do you understand? I am having a conversation with myself and my Father. I'm talking to my Father, and I'm telling myself to praise the Lord. I'm engaging my mouth with truth, and truth starts to frame how I'll feel. The Bible will make you feel better. It will make you feel much better. It'll make you feel like you're victorious when you're in the middle of a big defeat. It'll make you feel that you're well when your body, you feel like you're sick. It will change your world because it frames everything. So I continue. You ascended. That means I ascended. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. You said, I'm seated with you in heavenly places. So obviously, if I'm going to come and be with you, that's where we're going to have our conversation. I'll be in heaven with Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. We'll be talking in this place of intimacy. You're my high priest. You're making intercession for me. And so the conversation with the scripture, using the scripture as your base of conversation, means then you have the capacity, the opportunity to experience truth just goes in quantum physics because you're using truth, and soon truth will lead to truth, and truth will open up new truth, and soon truth will begin to, it's just a liberator. And now you're in his presence. Done. Try it. Next time you think you have to do penance to get in the presence, try this. We all know things that we've walked through and we go, oh gosh, I just feel so backslidden. And the way I get out of backsliding is I start doing this, I start doing that. Just step into the presence through what Jesus did. Exalt Jesus and let Jesus be sufficient. And watch and see if the Father, you see, because the Father is going to confirm his word. He's going to come sit and dwell and live with us who hold his word. So when we're in his presence, what follows? It says, let us draw near in a true heart of full assurance of faith. Did you know that once you're in the presence of God, you can be as honest with God as you want? You can tell him how awful you feel, how mad you are, how disappointed you are, how questioning you are. You can draw near with a true heart because the true heart is accepted because you're in Jesus. So Jesus got you in the presence. Now you can be honest with God. See, most people complain to God thinking that he's going to feel sorry for us and do something for us. He's not going to do anything for you because he feels sorry for you. He already took care of everything by what he did with Jesus. And if we would exalt his son, then we can tell him the situation as our soul is, because this is our soul stuff. And we can draw near with this true heart. And then we know we're not going to be kicked out. We're in full assurance of faith. And then what happens is we go through an immediate cleansing for the moment, a sprinkling of the heart, a washing of the body, and you before you realize, I call it recalibration. All of a sudden, I wake up as everybody wakes up with whatever the day is presented, whatever the day that came before, whether I'm tired or hungry or whatever. But when I come into God's presence and I begin to experience his promise, I start getting back into who I am in eternity. And I look a lot better in eternity than I look currently here. So do you. You look a lot better inside of the Father's heart, in his truth, in Christ, than you presently look at this moment. So when we have, and I have to say this, if because Scripture is true, if I praise God and ascribe to God who he is with Scripture, then Scripture will begin to make a way for me to experience what I'm praising him for. So you want to use Scripture and you want to praise him. I tell you, there's no better praise than his Scripture. Because it's describing him as he described himself. Does that make sense? You know, there's ways you'd like to be described. And if you heard somebody describe you like the way you like to be described, you'd go, I like that. So that's the same with the Father. If we describe the Father, if we say you are faithful in all situations, and he knows we're being confronted with a bunch of fear and doubt about whether he will be faithful in this situation, he knows that we're making a declaration about his word and truth in face of conflict and circumstances, and he's going to come with his Holy Spirit and say, that's it. He's going to give you lift. He'll blow over. He'll lift you up. And the encounter starts to happen. So praise, ascribing to who he is. If I'm having a hard time with humanity, I go to Isaiah 53, because I can ascribe to Jesus how he walked through humanity and what he did and how misunderstood he was. If I'm trying to hold my place in heaven, I go to Ephesians 1 and what I've been given as in Christ and what is done for me. And on and on and on. But let's continue. So, because now it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, when we have those experiences where we feel God speaks, the Holy Spirit whispers, you know, it was good enough to underline your Bible. You highlighted it, you wrote it down, you put it in your notes. Wow, this was something I heard. I encourage you to do that. That is a really hope coming alive, right? Because we come alive about new future, a future, a promise. And that promise is a confession of hope. And literally, I could prove this, but show you hours to do this. But what you hear God say to you that lifts you into agreement, that becomes a promise or hope, is your confession. And it is to be celebrated between you and Father, with Jesus, your high priest, holding your confession as his intercession over you, and you understanding his intercession as high priest is indeed your confession. Now, it takes a little work. Trust me. I mean, you know, most of us want somebody to do with all this for us, but it's no fun. Trust me. Once you've touched some of this, you go, I don't want anybody else to ever do that for me. I mean, I do because I'm lazy, but I mean, honestly, it's like going to the gym, right? I don't want to do those workouts, but afterwards, I'm always so happy I did. It's the same with the Lord. Now I have something. So I begin to give God back praise. This is who you are. This is what you said. This is who you're saying you are. This is what you promised me. And I look for where the Lord would want me to focus. Because it's not like, you know, 17 promises and I'm waiting for the 16th one to get finished. It's a conversation. It's a conversation that we're carrying with God in heaven, and the conversation is something we are allowing to grow, and we're allowing it to touch our emotions, and we're letting it to come up as a sound of praise. And as we do that, it builds union. Let me show you this in Hebrews 6, please. 6, Rachel, chapter 6, and I think I'll go to... verse 17. So let's stand up for a second. Just 2 minutes, we're going to practice entering his presence. Okay? We're going to come by his blood and through what Jesus did. And I want you to just, with your own words, say, in effect, I'm coming into the holiest of places. I'm coming into your holy presence, Father, by the blood that Jesus gave and through the way he created, which was his death, burial, resurrection. Here I come and here I am in your holy presence. And then I want you to accept that you're being received. Okay? So let's go ahead and do that together. I'll be quiet so you can say it out loud. And those of you online, do the same, please. Come, 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 because you made a way. You made it. Your blood, your veil, your flesh. I'm in your presence because of Jesus. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here because of your presence. Your presence is here. I'm because of your blood and through your veil, I'm here. Now that you're there, tell him something that's on your heart. Draw near to him with a true heart, an honest heart. Here's a situation, or here's my thanksgiving, or here's my complaint. Just have a moment. Have a conversation. Good to see you. Glad I can come so easily. Whoa, praise you, Jesus. Shibon baba, hetomoko baha. Thank you, Lord. 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 And now think of a promise or something that starts to come alive, something you're believing God, something you felt he said to you before. And go ahead and say it back to him. I believe you said these things. This is what I heard you say. This is a promise I'm grateful for. Something I heard recently or I've been carrying all my life. Just go ahead and say it back to him. That's what confession means. Say the same thing. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can be seated. Now, all of this is super subjective. We are subjective people. God is eternal, and he is the one that brings change. And if you allow God to bring change, you'll feel emotions at times. You'll get a sense of a direction to go, a scripture I want to go look up. A feeling of his power, just move in with it, because that's how God then, his wind, you know, he used to visit Adam at the end of the afternoon in the cool breeze. Just have freedom to go with that. Okay, so now chapter 6, verse 17. Thus God determining to show more abundantly the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So the reason the hope is so precious is that it holds our soul from being totally tossed all over the map in the midst of a storm. It's an anchor. It's also what we find in God's presence. He's a very hope. Could you imagine coming and finding God depressed? Discouraged? You know, overwhelmed by the circumstances, not knowing what to do with the world. He's not in that. So when we come into the presence that's behind the veil, it's hope-filled. It's where our promises become alive. And you'll notice that's why I believe when we keep his word and we value it, the Father begins to say, I'm going to dwell in that place of communion with my word and my children. And I'm going to begin to make what my word become even more and more and more real. And you will find in your communing in his word that there is Jesus. He's like, I'm here. And later you read in chapter 7, he's actually interceding for us in this direction of the very hope he's releasing us. So he's like going, we will see this completed. We will fulfill what we started. So let me show you one other part of this, where the power comes in. And then we're going to use a scripture as an example of just how you can encounter God in scripture. So turn with me to Romans chapter 4, I believe. Romans 4, and we'll look at, I'll tell you where, I think about 17. Romans 4, this is about Abraham. He says, as it is written, I have made you, past tense, a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. Presence, faith, there we are. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. There's hope. God is calling things that don't exist as though they do because to him they already do. Does that make sense? I mean, he's completely capable of completing everything he says. So when he speaks with such confidence that it is as though it's already been done. That's why if you have an active life in the presence of God, with his promises, in the power exchange of encountering, you will trick yourself so many times thinking that when you leave that time, that everything is out here already changed. It'll take you a while to go, well, I don't need to try to get out there to change because it's constant, it's consistently the same here. But then there comes times when God says, hey, you know what? We are going to change the outside. So we're going to grow you up now in living in agreement with what was nursed inside of my presence. I'm going to teach you how to stand in front of Pontius Pilate with the same words. That's what Jesus had to do, had to hold a confession in the worst of circumstance. So it says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. So hope is a very fluid, it's eternal, so therefore it never has a time elapse, but neither is it ever restricted to a time setting. So if God says to you something about who you're going to be, and life changes every which way, he did not rescind the promise. It's going to readapt itself in its expression in the current situation. But if we get stuck in this is where I was, and this is how I saw it to happen, and these are the people I saw in the situation, we'll get stuck, and we'll fall short of grace, and very likely have the opposite of new hope. We'll go into bitterness, and accusation, and distrust, and want to get safe, and get law around us. But if we can let God say, okay, like he did with Abraham, okay, I talked to you, you came alive, Ishmael came into your life, but now I'm not going to do this with Ishmael, I'm going to do it with Isaac, and come on inside of this new hope. And so it says, so that he became the father of many nations. Verse 17 says, he made him the father. And verse 18 says, now he's becoming a father. So God makes you a father before you become a father. He makes you into what he's doing before you become what he's doing. So now he's in this posture of going, okay, I'm going. I guess this is who God says I am. I'm going to learn to live this way. He changed my name. He changed Sarah's name. And now here we are. But here he is in the circumstances of life. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. So it wasn't that he denied that he was old. He just decided that that wasn't enough of a reason for God to not be able to do what he said. Do you understand? He's not trying to deny it. He's just not going to say it's greater than. So he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. This is where I believe, again, praise becomes so powerful. And it's like right now, if you're looking for something to do that God will really come on with life, praise him. There's just a moment right now. There's an advancement on the kingdom that God is picking up pace and he's jettisoning us into our future. But there are many enemies there. And he says, just I need you to praise me so you don't back up and back out. So praise is really powerful. Give them glory. Give them glory, because then your faith gets strong. And if your faith gets strong, you don't waver and you don't back up and stagger. And this is what comes out of giving him praise. It says he being fully convinced. You see, eventually our fellowship with God in his presence, inside promise, with the help and power of the Holy Spirit, daily living with Jesus, will overtake the circumstances of life and will literally begin to be the one, the will become the means of performance. Not because we did all of this, it's just we will learn to be able to say, you know what? God made the promise. God's going to perform it. And yeah, a lot of things have happened between the time he made the promise and where I am today, but none of them are greater than his ability to perform. And that's why I believe you look for people that have a sweet spirit, a sweet disposition, an expectant child in them. He's going to do it. It's happening. He's here. He's here now. Now's the time. And what if he doesn't do it? Well, he will do it. But if he doesn't do it today, he will do it tomorrow. If he doesn't do it tomorrow, do it the next day. If he doesn't get done before I die, it'll get done after I die. I'm going to live in hope. Hope is the thing Jesus wants to find. Faith is how I should die. Do you see, understand? So you can't lose. This is like you can't lose this. So I used a scripture on Sunday that's out of, pull up Jeremiah, that PowerPoint? This is in the Amplified version. Amplified is a great way if you're not familiar with, you're not comfortable yet expanding your own Bible. That's all I do is I make my own Amplified Bible. I'm always amplifying, looking for new words, synonyms, more expansive ways so that it can affect me. But this scripture affected me so much 15, 20, 25 years ago. Two times in my life it's come, and it's because in great change, God comes to me because I'm in a questioning stage, because everything is in disruption. That's how he always brings change. It's chaos first, and then light comes. But in chaos, usually what I want is to bring the law. But if I can learn to trust, I won't bring law. I'll let light come. So listen to this, and then we're going to just do it for 5 minutes. Jeremiah is having real trouble, and he's starting to question if God's faithful. Will you be as to me in the verse before, as an unfaithful brook, something I can't, as a incurable wound? So he's like, I don't. And then this is what God's response in the Amplified. Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you repent and give up this mistaken, what Amplified version is this, Brian? It's a new one. It's not as good as the old. You got to get the next time classic. You'd be surprised how much the Bible, they keep changing it every time they republish it. It's like King James, man. Anyway, I know this memorized, so that's why I'm going, well, that's not near as good as one I had. If you repent, give up this mistaken attitude of despair and self-pity, then I will restore you to a state of inner peace. Oh well. You have the classic. In pink. Turn that off. That was a mess. But you see, the reason I wanted you to have that was so you could do it yourself. How many have your Bible on your phone?
Can we just project my phone?
I know. Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, I will give you again a settled place of quiet and safety, and you shall be my minister. And if you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from evils, for unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, you will be my mouthpiece. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. Okay, so the key for me when I started, I thought, wow, you don't like my tone of distrust and despair. Have you ever told your children, you've got, you know, like from not just please, but you shouldn't whine, or, you know, you're trying to get the right tone. Well, that caught me, and I started saying, God, I don't want to have a mistaken tone of distrust and despair. So what is the opposite? You see, I always have a conversation. What is the opposite of distrust? That's easy. Trust. What's the opposite of despair? Hope. Expectancy. So, Lord, I'm hearing you say that what you want from me is a trust and hopeful expectancy. And then you will again bring me into a settled place of quiet and safety. So then, now that I kind of get a picture, I can begin to worship him with that. See, there's always instructional scriptures, and I'm encountering God in. There's foundational scriptures, there's entrance scriptures, and you're going to have like a musician has all their songs, or you're going to have your whole playlist that is yours of these are foundational, these are entry, and here is where I'm encountering the Lord. This is a current one for me. 2 weeks ago, Saturday night, God gave it, returned it back and said, Steve, I think we need to revisit this. Got to give up this distrust and despair. I don't like the tone of your voice. Right? I mean, do you think God has a problem with us accusing him? After a while, he does. Because he's kind of going, you know, I am good. And I want you to agree with that. And so this is one of those verses that was just powerful. Following that, he says, I want you to separate the precious from the vile. Cleanse your own heart from the evil or unwarranted and unworthy, unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness. So now, what's the opposite of suspicion to God's faithfulness? Would be that I'm resting in God's faithfulness. And so then I could start having this exchange moment. You see, because the scripture isn't coming to confirm me. It's coming to confirm God. And it's coming to separate that which is hindering me from agreeing with God and enjoying God. And where fear is ruling, it's going to come after it. Do you follow me? And now that I know I'm accepted in the beloved, I'm not worried about that God's going to say, oh, sorry, Steve, now that you had this mistaken trust, of this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, I don't have anything to do with you. No, of course he's going to have something to do with you. Jeremiah was the closest person that God ever could walk with through the most difficult time in Israel's history. And Jeremiah got swept into the sound that he was having to proclaim and the experience that he was having to witness. And he started to take it personally and got to begin to lose his own perspective with God. And God had to say, stop that. You're going into despair and you're in distrust. You see, and that's when you know you're having an experience. That's when you know the power of God starting to move and the word of God starting to touch you, because you're having an experience where he's touching you about where you are and calling you to where he is. Okay? There you did it. Yeah, there you did it. See, it's in the Bible. All right, so let's just look at that for a moment, and we'll just, for just like 2 minutes, I want you just to say those words back to yourself, or just ponder wherever you get land. Lord, and those online, you can see it. Just take a moment, read it. Read it out loud to yourself. Where is the Lord touching you? Thank you, Papa. Oh, thank you. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. It's totally okay to just talk quietly to yourself. The mouth is so important so often to engage. Whoa. Got about one more minute, then we'll close. Thank you, Papa. Thank you. Okay, let's stand together. We'll let this be a closing prayer. So I'll say it, you say it after me. You do much better in your own language, but we'll start with just so we can say it together. Dear Father, right now I'm returning to you. And I give up. I even throw it down. This mistaken tongue of distrust and despair. I trust you. I hope in you. And I receive again a settled place of quiet and safety. And that you will make me your minister. Father, I'm separating now the precious from the vile. I want my own heart to be cleansed from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning your faithfulness. You are faithful. Even when I can't see it, feel it, or make sense of anything, you are faithful. And I will be your mouthpiece. Now I'm not going to surrender and yield to all the lies, all the circumstances that are trying to make me surrender. They can return to me, but not me to them. Help me now come alive here. To experience trust, hope, and your faithfulness, entering into your rest. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys.